I've been so blessed, and you know, I have known a lot of people a long time. By the way, I've known Dennis and Rachel probably longer than anyone. Dennis pastors in Front Royal, Virginia. Rachel has put up with him for 50 years. Give Rachel a hand. Thank you, Rachel. Yeah, he better clap too. And secondly, we've known Anthony and Barbara since 80. That's 30 years. You know, I think I'm getting old. And this was out at La Jolla, California, some of your old stomping grounds. You know, back we lived in L.A. and he was in La Jolla, and we drove down from Glendale and talked with him, and we decided we just believe what the Bible said. That was a novel idea. Let's just take it at the word. And so we started getting along, and we've been following each other different places here and there, and it's been beautiful. And if you don't remember, I preached here 3 years ago, and Brother Steve put me up at his house, and I think he even cooked breakfast for me. Becky was gone, so he's a talented man, and I appreciate Brother Steve and Becky and the hospitality here. I think it was only an egg, Steve, so don't get the big head, you know, but... And I have to stop, and if you haven't gotten on Dan and Sharon's website lately, you need to get on it. I'm sorry. Dan is putting Joel and Labrisk on and everyone on, and I was on. Dan came down to ABC, and Sharon set up two cameras and caught me in my southern drawl occasionally, and I looked at those things, and I say, oh, this boy from Pumpkin Center is just trying to talk better, but he goes back to his southern drawl just every now and then. But it's really good. We covered some good subjects, and I want to thank Dan and Sharon for doing that. And so we could just go down the line and just thank you so much for that. And I know Mark and Kirk and all have been blessing. I've appreciated the messages, haven't you? I had some God moments. You know, I think God leads the way in this. And driving up, we went to Knoxville to pick up my son, Jeremy, whom some of you met. And on the way up, we passed by a truck. And on the back, it was from Alabama, it said, "To God be the glory." I said, "Rebecca, did you see that? Everybody's getting the word." I pulled over, let him come by. I got on my iPhone, and I'm driving along. I said, "No," and I said, "I better let you get this." And she got the picture, and I showed it to Joel. To God be the glory, you know. And then also, we picked up my son, Jeremy, in Knoxville, and we came back. We were coming back, and he kept talking about it. He kept saying, "We need to understand the fear of God more. We need to understand that God wants us, is calling us to holiness through Jesus. And we need to take this more serious." And Joel starts talking about the eternal gospel. And the first part is fear God and give Him glory. So that was like a sign from God that the Spirit is moving and leading us. You know, just like Philip was told to go down to that road, get in with that chariot. And so I feel that way about this weekend. And of course, Anthony and discussing the options, you can't beat Anthony on Christology. He's just, you know, I got to brag on the sir. He's very good. And you know that. He's been a blessing in my life and a blessing in a lot of people's life. And then Dan, I told Sharon, "Did you get that? Did you get that?" Dan's message this morning or this afternoon. And then Steve, just what a blessing it's been. I hope I live up to a third of what these guys have done. I'm going to talk about follow the leader. Jesus is the pattern, right? You know that. I know that. Jesus is the pattern. And in John 17:3, Jesus kind of lays it out. And we're going to walk through a bunch of these. Oh, I love that big print on the back, Scott. Thank you so much. I can see that. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah whom you have sent." You know, if Jesus is a leader, then we need to play that little kid game that we all used to play. Everybody raise your hand. How many of you played follow the leader? You know, we'd run over here, we'd hide here, they'd do this, they'd do that, and you did whatever the other one did. And so with Jesus, we need to think about playing that game and making it a little more mature. Follow this leader, what this person said, As Brother Dan says, it's not a facade. He's not a fake. He's a real human being. He was tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin. And so we need to know that He's leading the way. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So when He tells us there's only one true God and He's the Messiah whom that Father has sent, I'm telling you, you better take that at His word. Amen? You better start leading and leading others as He has led you into this. You know, this is a phenomenal thing. And, you know, I started crossing off verses that everyone else has. Almost every verse I have tonight, someone else has used. But I wanted Scott to put up Deuteronomy 18, 18 and 19 because I want you to see what Brother Joel and what Brother Dan and what Brother Steve and Sir Anthony have talked about and others. You know, I will raise up a prophet from among the brethren. And so Dan really hammered that from the brother. He's one of us. And I will put my words in his mouth. By the way, that's the Lord God talking. I will put my words in his mouth. And he will speak unto them all that I shall command them. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, now listen to this, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I'm going to judge you by how you listen to my son. Lord have mercy. If we don't listen to Jesus, if we don't play follow the leader in this case, we've got a problem. Houston, we've got a problem if we don't follow this individual. You know, this is so true and so beautiful. 1 Kings 18:36, and you know the story of Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. The book of James says he prays, it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, right? We learned that in Old Testament, right, Amy? Uh-huh, we did. And so Elijah was a man just like us. By the way, Elijah means my God is Yahweh. Eli, my God is Yahweh. So here's a man just like us. That's what James says. Just like us. And he's got this great thing going on Mount Carmel. If you know the story, and that's not the point of where we're going, I want you to catch on a key verse, and this is the verse. He called for all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah to assemble on Mount Carmel. Tells Ahab, Jezebel, everybody, get them up here. I want to talk to them. And so he comes and he challenges them to pour on the fuel and the, you know the story, you know the scene. I've even done that in youth camp. Hey, if you want to try something tricky, mix kerosene and gasoline in a tin can up in a pine tree, light it and let it slide down to the campfire and explode. It's a little tricky. Only do it if you're a pyromaniac. But I've done that. One time I had a little too much gas and it splashed. And I thought the kids on the front, you know how kids, they get close to the campfire. And some of them got, and it splashed, and it came within about a foot of their feet. I would have been kicked out of the church if it burned a foot of a little kid. But that's the scene that we're looking at. Elijah calling fire from heaven. But I want you to, let's look at this verse. And it came to pass at the evening offering sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. How did it not rain for 3 years and more? At God's word through Elijah. How did these things happen? At his word. So now we're talking, Jesus is our leader, but Jesus has samples to follow as well. He's a prophet likened to Moses, and he's a prophet likened to Elijah. He's turning his attention to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of Israel. He pays attention, and he says, I did nothing except at thy word. Now that's a good phrase. At thy word. That's how we need to follow the leader. As Jesus did nothing without doing it at the word of the Father, then that's how we should be. A couple samples of this in what Jesus did in John 17:16. He says his teaching is not his own. John 7:16. Jesus answered and said to them, "My doctrine or teaching is not mine, but him who sent me." Boy, that take away the big head. If you're getting the big head, I like Brother Joel's. Who was it talking about? Oh, no, Kurt talking about the tear. And, you know, that was pretty cool. Good job. Just realize that the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one coming with the angels of heaven in Revelation 19, is the one who did nothing and said nothing except from the Father. Let's look at another verse in John 14, 28. I just had Scott put these up just to remind you. These were used in some of the presentations already. But in John 14, 28. "You have heard now, and I said unto you, I go away, I come unto you again. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Jesus always paid attention to the Father. He listened to the Father. And so Jesus knew where his power was coming from. Jesus knew where his energy was coming from. Jesus knew where his teachings were coming from. But, you know, but also his words. "The words that I speak are not mine, but him who sent me." And so we live this life and we try to do what's right, and we keep listening for those signs on the back of the truck, "To God be the glory," or the still small voice, and we listen for things and try to see where God is leading us, and we should always be in tune for that still small voice, and that Spirit says, "Go down to that chariot. Maybe talk to this person today," because that may be the Spirit talking to you for action. Let's go to 1 Kings 19:9. After this phenomenal success of Elijah. Phenomenal success of Elijah. And then Elijah called for rain, and it rained, if you remember the story. And Ahab ran back to Jezebel. I guess he couldn't wait to tell her what that evil Elijah had done. And he ran back. Jezebel, what does Jezebel say? It's not there, but it's Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill him. Before the day is over, I'm going to kill Elijah." Before the day is over. So Elijah fled. You know, the angel feeds him twice for a 40 days journey. And see, Brother Steve stole this one too. He goes down to Horeb, sits in the cave, and just having a pity party. A good old pity party. I need to turn there so I can look at it, because some of these things are very interesting. 1 Kings 19. He is having a literal pity party. You know, he's having a rough time. Look at verse 9. "Then he came to the cage and lies there." I'm reading out of NASB. "And the word of the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here?" And sometimes I think that's us. Nobody's getting this, Brother Joel. Nobody's getting the Most High God, Brother Steve. What are we going to do? You know, how are we going to... They won't listen to my songs, you know. What are we gonna do? Listen to what he says. And he said, verse 10, "I've been very zealous." Another version uses zealous. "I have been very jealous for the Lord." This, by the way, now every time you see the word Lord capitalized, that's the Hebrew Yahweh. "I've been very jealous. I've been jealous and zealous for the Lord my God." You know, I tried to do the best I can. I've been very zealous for the Lord God. "For the people of Israel have forsaken covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am the only one left, and they seek my life to take it away." You ever been that bad in a pity party? Well, you're not like Paul. Paul says, "I despaired even of life." All this stuff going on in the churches, you know, all the problems. Have you ever read the book of 1 Corinthians? They got like 12 major problems going on. And Paul's dealing with those problems and issues. And all of his churches are mainly church issues. And he says at one point, "I despaired of life. My goodness, can't these people get it right?" And so here's Elijah in a cave. He just had a victory 40 plus days ago, just totally destroying these prophets of Baal and Asherah. Fire came down from the mountain. The people shouted, "The Lord is God! The Lord is God!" And he thought everybody was going with him. And then the army comes chasing him.
Lord have mercy, this is a tough one. Yeah. The army comes chasing him. And I alone am left. I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, go stand in the front of the cave. Listen up. And you know the story. There's a great wind that was crashing the rocks. The Lord wasn't in the wind. And then an earthquake comes and just starts totally destroying the mountain. And the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then fire comes. I don't know how that was. Maybe that's where they got the group, Earth, Wind, and Fire, huh? I don't know. There's an old 60s group, Earth, Wind, and Fire. But the wind and the earthquake and the fire comes, and God's not there. But God, in a still small voice, where is it, Brother Scott? Verse 13. He asked the same question again to Elijah. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face and cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? The people are up there. What are you doing here? Now that's a good question again. We are to be with people. Excuse me, what was that John 17, 3 verse? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah whom you have sent. If we don't present to them the knowledge of the only true God and Jesus the Messiah, how are they going to get it? We have to be there. We have to be out in that. We talk about the villages. When you go down the blacktop. This is almost like old-timey pumpkin center. You go down the blacktop and get off the dirt road, and then you go down the path, and then you get out of the truck and walk a while. And it's sometimes tough out there. Let me tell you what these people did for us. We built a building. We, people donated money for a building, and this is in Mozambique. We built a building for them. And they knew we were coming to see it, take pictures, and send pictures to the donors. And so, as we were going, we got off the blacktop, went down a dirt road, and then we got to a path about this wide in a truck. Now, it's a four-wheel drive, pick-em-up truck. So Joe's driving it. By the way, it's left-hand shifting, too. And we start. But the people of the church, Anthony, You know these people, Bango, Chaka, Nevasandi, Lomos, the people of the church, Sister Becky, they cleared the brush back about 7 feet wide on both, and they cleared it for a mile and a half, folks. Right, Rebecca? They cleared so that the Zungus, the white folks, could drive back and see their church building. Folks, we got to get out there. Wait a minute, where did Jesus said go? Go into all the world. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to where? To where? To where? The ends of the earth. So we have to go where the people are, wherever that is. Because this is eternal life. This is life, to know the one true God. You know, Joel and I have been hammering this, and you've been hammering it. We've been hammering it. 199 times God says, I am the Lord God. I am the Lord, I am Yahweh El Shaddai, God Almighty, Amy Grant sings. And 77 perfect times in the King James and the NASB, which Joel says, God says, they're going to know. But whose mouth is He going to use? That's my question. Yours and mine. He's going to use our mouth. Amen? He's going to use our mouth. We speak of the one true God. We speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and who's coming again in His kingdom. Elijah has the same excuse in verse 14. Then he said, I've been very zealous. Oh, there's the zealous. I've been very zealous for the Lord God. And the Israelites have rejected your covenant. He's got the same old, and he says, I'm the only one left. What's the problem here? Elijah doesn't know what God knows. Because in the next few verses, God says, I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You do your job and I'll do my job, God says. And that's where we are. You do your job and God will do His job. We, you know, who's supposed to sow? We sow.
We sow the seed of the kingdom. Matthew talks about the seed as the word of the kingdom. We sow the seed. We sow the message of the kingdom. We sow the message of the one true God. We sow the message of the Messiah. God gives the increase. But we must do our job. We must do our job.
Luke 6:46, that dangerous verse. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? I think I jumped ahead on you. Let's read this one too. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, this is a good subject. As Brother Joel said, Jesus' favorite subject is his Father. 170 times. How many times does Jesus say, my Father? I've got that computer program. I've looked it up. Jesus says, my Father, 40 times in the gospel. 40 times he refers to his Father. My Father, my Father, my Father. You know, he's going over this. We need to have Jesus' words in our mouth. Amen? We do. We do. This is, look, yeah, there's the other verse. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Church, we've got a job to do. That's the bottom line. Church, we have a job to do. We're all going to die. I told this story in Old Testament before. I'm going to tell it again. Tony Campola tells the story because, and the story is, they were having a church meeting celebrating the graduating students. By the way, choir was super tonight. That was just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And so the choir was wonderful and all young people. But they were having a graduation ceremony. They gathered all the young people and lined them up. You know, they sat on the front row and they were going down praising the young people. And Susie's going to the University of Tennessee. Go Vols. And she's got 4.0 and she's going to be so high. And everyone claps. And Johnny's going to wherever, Georgia State, to be an engineer. And everyone claps. And they're going down the line. And Freddie got into Harvard, of all places, bless his heart. And so everyone's clapping his head. And then the old preacher got up and says, listen, young people, I got something to tell you. You're going to die. They're going to go dig a 6-foot hole, drop you down, throw dirt in your face, and go back to the church and eat potato salad. So what are you going to do with your life now? And that was the point. Are you going to live for God or just do something stupid? Well, I'm going to get my business degree and I'm going to flip burgers or what? But what part of that are you going to focus on the things of God? You know, we have a job to do before we are put in the grave. Amen? We have a job to do. And our job is to speak the words of our Father in heaven that the Lord Jesus spoke. We need to be armed with the words of Jesus about this thing, about what's going on. And Jesus is very clear. I can of my own self do nothing, and neither can we. But we have a duty to do. Go into all the world. Preach to God. Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You know, stretch it a little bit. You know, when we first went into Africa, we were sleeping on the dirt, Sir Anthony. You know what they do? This is another Africa story. They fix bamboo shoots. They trim bamboo. The bamboo over there is real big. And they trim it down to about an inch, and they sew it together and make a mat. And that's your bed. That's not a very big cushion. That's not a very big cushion. Not that much foam. Not that big a foam. But that much. But we go because that's where the people are. That's our job. That's the ends of the earth. And so let yourself be stretched a little bit. Think about going somewhere. By the way, I told that you're going to die joke. And I went. My uncle died. Little church, Jerusalem Baptist Church, my hometown church. And Pumpkin Center. There were only two churches, both Baptist. So guess where our family went? Jerusalem Baptist Church. And my uncle died, and I went home. They asked me to do the funeral. Why do Baptists name their churches after, I don't know, after cities? Zion, Mount Zion. We got. Oh. But anyway, Jerusalem Baptist Church. We went to Uncle Troy's funeral, and Preacher Joe, I was the preacher of the family, got to preach a sermon. And so I told them. Some of them were not going to church. I said, listen to me.
you're going to die. They're going to dig a 6-foot hole, drop you down, throw dirt in your face, and go back to church and eat potato salad. Well, we went out to the cemetery where my mother and father buried, dropped Uncle Troy down, went back to the social hall of the Jerusalem Baptist. Right in the middle of the table was a big old giant potato salad bowl. And my cousin Rodney walks in and says, I'm not touching that stuff after that. So we have a job to do, though, before we die. You know, since my mother died recently, there's no one, someone says, there's no one between me and the grave now. That's an interesting thought. There's no one between me and the grave now. I'm the next generation to have that. So I want to do my job. Well, let's look at what Jesus proclaimed again. Let's turn over to Mark 12:28-29. We can look it on the screen if Scott has that. But Jesus is, what's the most important thing? I'm like Joel and Dan and Anthony and Steve. This stuff is eating me up. It really is. Because I'm eaten up by it, because this is eternal life, folks. This is eternal life. To know the one true God. And I don't know how gracious, thank God for grace. You know, I thank God every day for grace. But I don't know how gracious and merciful God's going to be. But this verse is pretty clear. He was asked, you know, they're arguing, they're reasoning. But one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important one? Now that's a good question. Which is the most important? I don't see the young man that speaks Hebrew, but I spoke here 3 years ago and we got together and had a discussion. But what is Jesus quoting in verse 29? Let's look at that. And Jesus comes right back at him and says, the most important one. The most important one. The Greek is protos. It can either mean time or rank. In this case, it's rank. The most important thing. Answered Jesus. And remember who Jesus is. He's the prophet like unto Moses, that God's put his very words in his mouth. And if we don't listen to Jesus, God himself is going to call us to account. And our Jesus says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And your neighbor as yourself. We have a job to do what Jesus said and put first things first. Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he said you ought to let the main thing be the main thing. Well, what's the main thing? You don't have to guess. It's the Lord God. Amen. You don't have to guess and suppose and think about it. Jesus said it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord's one, and you should love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. We don't have to guess about this. And then the second is likened to it. You better be concerned about your neighbor. If there's what town are we in? Cross Plains? If someone's house burns down a mile away, Gospel Temple ought to be the first one on the doorstep with food and clothes. I don't care if they're a member of the church or not. We ought to be the first ones in the community helping someone in need. The Bible, Paul says, do good unto all people, especially those of the household of faith. So we ought to show the love of God and show what we're about by being the first on their doorstep. Amen? And all the things that we can do to do that. And I know crisis pregnancy, he's talking to Kirk a little bit, and everything that we need to do to be in the community to help people, because that's what our leader said, and we're going to follow the leader, then we're going to do what he said, and the leader says, pay attention to the Lord God, love Him well, and love your neighbors yourself, and we're going to be about our Father's business, amen? So we need to think about this. We need to do this. And that was the Shema. You know, and Jesus, if we're going to follow the leader, and Jesus is our, I don't like that word mere human either. That's not a good term, is it? Brother Dan, I think you said that. That's not a good term at all. This is Jesus, the Son of God. The supernaturally born, created in the womb of Mary, planned from the beginning of time, planned from the foundation of the world, but brought into existence in the womb of Mary. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and unto him every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Amen? And you're either going to bow now or you're going to bow later. Why not now? And we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him. We need to listen to him.
Maybe Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Scott. You know, this is, I love, someone's talking about Hebrews 2. Therefore, we should pay the earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Yeah. I got a story about that. Let me tell you a pumpkin center story about that. I grew up with 17 cousins on the hill. 17. My Aunt Mabel, my Aunt Norma, my Aunt Lessie. You know, there were three Bankston girls. They all had four kids. And then one of my dad's brothers lived back with 17 cousins. And we were always playing. We lived right along the river. I got to illustrate this. So you know, there was a bank and there was a river there. And so the vines growing out of the tree, you know, southern Louisiana, just swampy vines all over the place. And so we would cut the vines out of the tree. When there was a big old oak tree over the river, and we cut the vine out. And, you know, we would swing out over that creek and back. Oh, man, that was fun. We didn't have money to buy a rope. We would swing out on the vine, Rachel, and swing back. And, oh, that was fun. But, you know, things get a little dull, and we miss the thrill. So what are you going to do? We got 17 cousins. Let's put another one on that vine and let's try that. So we put two of us on the vine. Me and Keith got on the vine. And out over that creek we went and out we come back. Oh man, that was thrilling. Yeah. But after about 20 times, I guess a little old too. Hey, 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 hey. Here come Cousin Wayne. Cousin Wayne was the biggest one of the bunch. Wayne, I want to try it too. Okay. So Wayne and Keith and I, for some reason, me being the littlest one, got the bottom of the vine. Now that was pretty stupid. But we got the vine. I was on the vine. I could pull my shirt off and show you the scar, but I was on the vine. And we swung out. Crash. That was just too much. And the vine came down and it raked me across the chest like I still had the scar. Now what was the point of that story? We better be about our Father's business. We better not let this slip, folks. We should pay the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This is a great salvation. This is not an angel come down. This is Jesus born in the womb of Mary. This is not, you know, the Greeks had all these gods on Mount Olympus and all the times are gods. This is not the Greek philosophy. You got to check Brother Joel's book out. I bought 20 of them and sent them to our pastors myself. You ought to check it out. It's not Greek philosophy where some god on the mountain is coming down and harassing you or talking to you. You know, this is Jesus from the womb of Mary, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we need to, it's so great a salvation, we need to follow the leader. Amen? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got a little time left. We got time left. You know, even though things are getting tough in the world, we're talking about tribulation possibly coming and hard times. And if it was like Malawi, you can't even go to the service station and buy gas. They would sit in the lines for, they would park their truck at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and wait all night and the next morning hoping to get 10 gallons of fuel or whatever, 40 liters of fuel. We may get into those times, but whatever the times come, we need to be about our Father's business. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, our leader, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. 21 times the New Testament says, right hand of God. It's a very simple kindergarten question. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. He's receiving from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and pouring it out on us. We need to follow the leader. Will you play Follow the Leader with me? Amen. Amen. Amen.